there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Happiness. Your happiness. The happiness of people around you. The happiness of the people with whom you associate daily. Let's talk about that for a little bit and get a kind of a sense of happiness. We always think that that's a we're in the pursuit of happiness, you know, and that we're always on some kind of a venture that's going to bring us increased levels of happiness. Now, happiness is a lot of different things. We define it very differently, and everybody defines it differently. But that sense of satisfaction, that sense of inner joy, that sense of inner peace, that sense of quality of life, that sense of joy and kindness and just cheerfulness that comes from others to us, that we admit from ourselves to others, and that we enjoy in our relationships with people. Happiness is generally people-related. Now, a research study, Gallup poll, recently found that job satisfaction, or another word, is job happiness, or happiness at work, feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of joy, a feeling of kindness and goodness at work, depends upon you having a best friend in the workplace, a best friend with whom you work. In other words, you got to like the people you work with. But this goes a little bit beyond that by saying you got to have a best friend. So you should work at that. You should develop your relationships with the people with whom you work. You don't have a best friend in the exclusion of everybody else, but you have a best friend in the sense of a preference because you share common values. You share common objectives in life. You share common experiences. You share common traumas. You share common goals. That's what brings people together. So thriving in the workplace and being happy depends upon you having that best friend. Now, let's take a look at some of the research in the area of happiness as we go on and develop this a little bit. Happy people are not necessarily prone to avoid depression or to not experience some form of depression in their life. Happiness takes place, that's true. But one can still experience the range of emotions that goes with human nature, with human experience, including depression. It was interesting, in one research study in University of Denver, the average person who is happy reports about 17 symptoms that are common to depression. So it isn't that they don't have the depression moment or the depression pattern, but they don't get stuck in it. They don't live on it. They don't thrive on those 17 depressive symptoms. They come and go. They defeat them and let them leave and move on so that your life lives out more on the happy side of life rather than on the depressed side of life. But even happy people know what depression is. Now, here's another research study that was conducted. Actually, it's a Dutch study showing that vacations are associated with increased levels of mood or increased levels of happiness. But interestingly, it isn't the vacation itself. It's the anticipation of the vacation, which is associated with much more happiness. And that can be anywhere from weeks to months before the actual vacation, depending on what the vacation is all about. But even a month or two before the actual vacation, people start reporting increased levels of joy or happiness in their life. And then when they come back from vacation, it's back to normal. It's back to normalcy. And sometimes that's a little bit depressing, a little discouraging, a little down, because now that vacation's over and you have to wait a long time for the next one. Actually, it's best for people to have several vacations during the year. Anticipate those vacations 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead of time and enjoy the anticipation of a vacation on a repeated basis, not just once a year. Now, here's another point that came out in some research, and that is, hey, your happiness level, to some degree, is genetically determined. To some degree, up to 50%. In other words, if you come from happy stock, if you come from parents and you come from a family line of happy people, you're going to tend to be happy and be on the happy side. 10 to 20% is influenced by these life circumstances that you live out and that you go through and that you experience from day to day. And 30 to 40% is influenced by how you think, just how you manage life, how you plan life, and how you process experiences that you have in life. So it's a combination. Happiness is a result of a combination. Yes, if you've been born into a happy family, you have an advantage. Now, does that mean it's genetic, perhaps? Or does that mean that you've learned? You grew up in a family that was happy, and you learned to be happy. You learned to smile. You learned to tell jokes. You learned to understand jokes. You learned to understand happy comments. You learned to understand what to do to increase one's mood and bring about a state of happiness. I tend to believe that a little bit more firmly than just it's pure genetics. It's the genes within an individual. That may happen to some degree. You may be prone to having certain arousal levels. That's genetic. But if you live with a family that's sour and they're crabby and they're mean-spirited and they're self-centered, yeah, you probably won't live much of a happy life. But if you live within a family that is fun and joyous and have games and teas and jokes and just laugh together, yeah, you'll tend to be a happy person as you increase in your age. So I think that's kind of where happiness comes relative to the family line. Now, what about the idea of people who read? Well, we know that from research that people who read tend to be happier than people who just watch television or who just do the iPhone or work on their computers in some form, Xboxes and so on. Reading people are happier, says the study from the University of Maryland. Now, even if the plot that you're reading about is somewhat depressing, happiness still prevails if you're a reader. So there's kind of a sense of satisfaction, there's a sense of joy, there's a sense of peace, a sense of quietness as you read. Your brain is a little bit more inactive, a little bit more quiet, associated with a little bit more with happiness than if you live up and down and have excitement and then the lack of excitement as you watch television programs and shows and so on in the news and so on. So reading people tend to be a little bit more on the happy side. Now, how do you get happy? If you're going to try to create a happy situation, you're going to try to create a mood of happiness, or a mood in which you have peace or tranquility or calmness or kind of just that sense of peace and the sense of joy. What would you do? Well, according to a study at the University of Rochester, New York, 90% of people report increased levels of happiness as they go outside and interact with trees and grass and living creatures and spending time outdoors. In other words, nature itself has a uplifting effect on the mood of people. And apparently there's kind of a sense of calmness, a sense of peace, a sense of quietness that prevails when you're out in the woods, you're out in nature, you're out in the open spaces. There's kind of a joy that comes to you in that kind of situation. So take advantage of it. Get out. Don't spend your time in the house. And it might be in contrast. In the house, you may be watching television, watching the news, and that could be depressing. As compared to getting out of the house, going outside and talking to nature and being part of nature and experiencing this sense of arousal, the sense of joy or the sense of excitement. What about optimists versus pessimists? Are optimists always happy? Well, to some degree, optimists tend to be somewhat happier. And if you're a pessimist where you expect the worst thing that's going to happen, yes, you're probably prone to more depression. So the way you think, the way that you organize your thoughts, if you organize your thoughts around positiveness and hope and anticipation of something good happening, you're probably going to feel a little happier than if you organize your thoughts and you organize your lifestyle and you organize your behavior patterns around a pessimistic theme of things going bad and things going from bad to worse and that bad things are going to happen. The only good thing about that is that sometimes when you think the worst, that the worst things are going to happen, and they don't, that creates an upsize, an uptick. Gives you a sense of that happiness. So even a pessimist, although he's generally on the unhappy side, can experience moments of joy, moments of happiness, if the bad things don't happen that they anticipate. Now, is there a pill for happiness? Well, there probably is not a happiness pill. But we do know that fish oil, taken daily, can have an antidepressant effect. And because of its fatty acids, and because of the increased hormones like serotonin and norepinephrine, that there is a elevation in mood, elevation in energy, elevation in enthusiasm and alertness and arousal, which is associated with happiness. So if you're going to use any kind of a herbal medicine, if you want to use that idea, fish oil, take it regularly. It's good for your heart, it's good for the brain, and it may be good for happiness too. In the long run, it isn't something that, you know, is going to turn around you. Like herbal medicine, generally speaking, takes 3 to 7 months to really take an effect and have any real positive effect on you. So if you're going to take herbal, you got to really commit yourself to a long-term use of it. And fish oil is something you take daily and you do it kind of for the rest of your life, particularly if you want to help your brain and help your heart.
And it,
therefore, the side effect is it may help your level of happiness, you know, as well. You know, Peter Pan had it, right? You know, Peter Pan is known for the idea, think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. Well, we know that people, from Bowling Green University, a study was done, we know that people who think happy thoughts, not just are happy and experience it, but actually anticipate happiness and think of it in terms of happiness and laugh and enjoy the moment they're in, tend to be much happier, tend to have a brain that reflects a little bit more of a uprising and a little happiness theme. So, yes, think happy thoughts along with Peter Pan. Join him in that activity. That'd be helpful to you. So have a list. If you can't think of something, get a piece of paper out and write down 5 or 8 happy thoughts. Put that in your car window. Put that in your dashboard of your car. Put that on your bathroom mirror. Put it somewhere in the kitchen. Put it in the refrigerator. You know, whatever. These lists of happy thoughts. And as you walk by them and you see them, that will prompt you into that kind of happiness thinking. And that will pay off relative to your mood, you know, of happiness as well. Lastly, let me ask you about music. Does music make you happy? Well, it may not, but it can. If you listen to music that you listened to as a child, if you listen to music that you've always liked over the years, if you listen to music that has always been part of your repertoire of preference relative to music, whether it's the song or the lyrics or the melody or the harmony or the instrument that's played or whatever, whatever it is, music will prompt happiness if you engage in music that was part of your childhood and part of your earlier life, but part of your happy times in life, in your good times in life, in your early times in life. Don't go with the music of the day necessarily. The music of the day may not make any bit of difference to you, or it may even make you more angry or more depressed, frustrated, or upset. Get the music into your ears that makes you feel happier. And that tends to be the music on which you grew up, the music that from your history that you listened to as a child and that you grew up on and that you preferred over the years. So happiness is in your lap. Happiness is something that you can achieve and you can experience and you can bring about and you can stimulate and you can then enjoy and live on it and have the energy that happiness brings you. I recommend you go to my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. Pick up the book, Living Life at Its Best. Living Life at Its Best. I go through a whole host of emotional experiences that are positive and that are helpful. The way we think, and the way that we treat people, and the way that we organize our life may be very helpful for you on this particular topic. So, www.booksbyhedberg.com, Living Life at Its Best. Hey, bye for now, and thanks for joining me.